Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
We're going to go down to verse 13. And he says, enter at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many are going that way. Let's pray together. Father, as we bow before you, I thank you for all that's happened today. Father, I thank you for the Sunday school hour, the worship hour, the fellowship time. We pray especially that, God, you would raise up the shepherd of this flock and get him back. We thank you brought him this far. Father, we thank for all the prayers that have gone up on his behalf. And now be with us, and Father, may your Holy Spirit search each and every heart. Reveal to us where we're truly going, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The story is Albert Einstein was on a bus. Y'all know Albert Einstein, the guy with the fuzzy hair, and did a little bit of math work, I believe. And the porter came by, and he's clicking the tickets, and Dr. Einstein, he looked, he said, I'll be back, and he went and got some other tickets, and he come back, and Dr. Einstein is looking at everything he got, and he can't find a ticket. And the porter said, Dr. Einstein, don't worry about that. I know you. I trust you. And Dr. Einstein said, well, thank you, but I need my ticket. He said, well, no. He said, no, if I don't have my ticket, I don't know where to get off. He didn't know where he was going. He was really absent-minded. He was always thinking so far ahead, sometimes he didn't see what was right in front of him. Y'all ever get that way? Oh, I had a occasion to do that occasionally, get absent-minded. But you should never forget that you are on your way somewhere. And you got to get off somewhere. I don't know how your week's been, but last Thursday I had a funeral in Tullahoma. Friday I had a funeral in Shelbyville. Saturday I had a funeral in Marshall County. And Tuesday I got a funeral in Rutherford County. Now, I've been blessed that these funerals that I've did, they were good Christian people. Good Christian people. And I'll never forget the son went over in Marshall County. He said, you know what? And it was all over. He said, I never imagined I could have so much fun at my daddy's funeral. Because we just went over his life. He was a good man. What are we going to say about you when you're gone? I told a fellow once, he was kind of sick, coughing. I said, hey, why don't you prepay your funeral? He said, preacher, how much you charge? I said, I got a $10 funeral and a $20 funeral. Which one you want? He said, well, what's the difference? I said, for $10, I tell the truth about you. For $20, I'll make up something good. And he said, well, let me get back with you. And I saw him a little bit later, and I said, well, what'd you make up your mind? He said, my wife said I wasn't even worth a $5 funeral. So I said, well, I don't want to do yours at all, then. If it's going to be that hard, I don't want to have to do it. Enter. Go in. How many people go by this church every Sunday morning but never come in? They're on their way somewhere. You know, I meet a lot of them coming in. They're in a hurry. Some of them, they're flying down the road. God said, now listen very carefully, we're all going somewhere. Every one of us. You're closer right now than you've ever been in your life to that final destination. Now, some people say, well, you know, it doesn't matter what you believe. As long as you believe, we're all going to the same place. No. I don't want to go to a place where most people are going to you. Because Jesus said it's a narrow way, a tight way, a restricted way that leads to heaven. But broad and wide is the way that goes to hell. It's so easy to go to hell. You don't even really have to make any plans. You can just drift right along just like you are and wind up in that place. How do you avoid it? How do you avoid it? God gives you a plan. Amen? Oh, I thank God for that. He said, now listen, there's a way to go, but you got to be careful. And the ones you really had to keep your eye on, what? Church leaders. I hate to say that, sister. He said, look what he said in verse 15. Beware of false prophets. People who lie to you just for money. People who lie to you just for their own benefit. People who tell you anything you want to say as long as you give them their money. Beware. They're like wolves in sheep clothing. You know, how many of y'all know that great Bible story? Little Red Riding Hood. You know Little Red Riding Hood, she'd go bebopping through the woods. She got a little basket for Granny. God bless her, going to take care of Granny. She gets there and the wolf done ate Granny up and he's in the bed and he's all covered up. And she says, oh, Granny, what big eyes you have. She wanted to believe it was her Granny. And people want to believe they're all right. And if they can find a preacher and say, you can do anything you want, it'll be all right. They say, that's the preacher I want to hear. Amen. But I want to tell you, you can't do anything you want. I can't do anything I want. We need to do what God says. Amen. And the church today that will do that will stand out among all the others. Jesus said there, be careful of false prophets. They're like wolves. And also be careful and look at somebody and see what's going on in their life. There's a preacher up in New York State. Had his salary listed at $38,000 a year. He drove a Rolls Royce. His wife drove a Bentley. And just like this church, the church gave his wife $50,000 a year for clothing allowance. You probably wouldn't go that low, would you? The IRS kind of took notice in this preacher, and then after they checked it out, they invited him to come and stay one of the federal hotels for a while. He was in it for the money. How can you drive a Rolls and a Bentley and live in a million-dollar house and say, I make $38,000? He's really good with managing his money, wasn't he? Listen, you see him all the time. It's a shame. God's going to bring them up one day, and they're going to give an account for that. Amen? So be careful. He says, verse 17, every good tree brings forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree brings forth bad fruit. Now here we are in God's little orchard right here. Just imagine this church building is an orchard. And you're a tree, and you're a tree, and you're a tree, and you're a tree. What did you produce last week for God? What did you produce for God last week? If God sent somebody your way that was spiritually hungry, spiritually needy, they needed a prayer, they needed a visit, they needed a word of God, they needed something, could they get it from you? We're all God's trees, and I ask you, what are you producing for God? So Jesus, he goes on, he said, well, I tell you what, let's go down to verse 21. It's going to get worse. Now he's zeroing in on these preachers. He said, and he says, not everyone, some, but not all. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord. It's Lord. It just means you're my master. You're my boss. Some people know how to say the right thing. They know how to say the right thing. They can quote scripture. It was a fella I ran up to in Toledo, Ohio. We was working up there. And you go by any time. He was sitting there with a suit on, a towel, usually on the front porch. Had a Bible in front of him. And he'd just more or less go through that Bible all day. Never went to church. And when he wasn't reading the Bible, he was drinking. He could barely get off that porch. But he could quote scripture like you wouldn't believe. I felt sorry for him. I believe there was part of him that wanted God so bad, but part of him was hooked on that alcohol. And he couldn't let go of one to grab the other. And he was torn between two worlds. You can't go two ways at one time, can you? You have to make up a mind. Sooner or later, I'm going this way or I'm going that way. But when you just stand in the middle, you can't go anywhere. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But only those that do the will of my Father. What does God want from you? That's the most important question you'll ever ask. What does God want? You know what other people want. You know what your wife wants. You know what your husband wants. You know what your kids want. You know what your boss wants. You know what the government wants. But what does God want from you? You say, well, Brother Gray, I don't have a lot to offer. No, you no, 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 no. God gave everybody here a life, and when he gave you life, he gave you special gifts and special talents. Everybody. I was just amazed today. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Somebody told me something. I said, well, you're lying. They said, no, no, it's true. And I said, oh, it couldn't happen. I looked at all these stained glass windows. Look there. There's Jesus being born. There's Jesus on the cross. There's Jesus coming out of the empty tomb. There's Jesus going up to heaven. There's Jesus praying. And I said, those are beautiful. And they said, "I, you know who made those?" And they told me. I said, oh, it couldn't happen. Oh, it couldn't happen. Oh, I'm telling you, I've seen his boys. He can't make nothing. No. I'm not naming any names now. I'm not naming any names. But everybody's, and he did that while confined to a wheelchair, basically. Everybody can do something. Amen. Everybody can do something. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What do you want from us? Yeah, I'll tell you. Let's go down to verse 24. We're kind of hurrying through because I can smell the cooking. Oh. Anybody that hears these sayings of mine, this is really important. Now, this ought to give you something to do. How are people going to be saved in somebody they never heard about? They're not. It's your job, my job, to be God's voice on this earth, isn't it? Just to tell somebody, you know, God loves you. Tell somebody God can forgive you. Tell somebody God will be with you. Just little things all along the way. He said, anybody that hears my words, oh, listen. What did you hear last week? You hear some good old rap music? Boom, bah, boom, bah, boom, bah, boom, bah. I think I'd be a rapper one day. I'd get me a big old gold chain, put my pants down around my knees and just go around, you know. Well, maybe I'll stick to country music. But when I sing, people want to know what country I'm from, so I don't do that. But we all got gifts, and Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings and does them is a wise man. Oh, how'd you like to be smarter than you is? I didn't major in English at college. How'd you like to be smarter than you are? Now, I want to tell you something. This right here, right now, this wise man, it doesn't mean that God says you have to be a genius. That's not what this word wisdom means. Now, there are some people that are just so smart, they're stupid. They're just so smart. We had a guy come in one day over in the Army, and he was driving. He blah, 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 and we looked down, and he had two flat tires. He's coming in, he parks, And we say, what's going on? He says, something wrong with my car. It don't steer worth anything. He had two flat tires. Never occurred to him he had a flat tire. He was a very smart man, but he had no common sense. Now, some people are geniuses, and God bless them. But God said, you don't have to be a genius to get to heaven. You got to be wise. And a wise person is somebody who takes time to think about what they're doing. Amen? And they take time to think about their action that they're going to take and what will be the consequence. That's a wise person. Somebody who says, let me think about this. You know, a wise man is like somebody who built his house on a rock. And then what happened? The storms came. Floods came, winds came, and the house stood there. Now, everyone that hears my words and doesn't do them is like a foolish man. Now, this word foolish, it's kind of the opposite of wise. Now, foolish in some instances means godless. It can be used several different ways. But foolish here, it's the root word that we use sometimes. You might have used it on one of your friends. The word means moron. Somebody just ain't too bright. A wise man considers his way, and a foolish person, a moron, just does what he wants and does what is easy and does what is convenient. Doesn't go beyond, just do barely what you got to do by. The moron was smart enough to know he needed a house. The moron went out and got him some wood and stuff, and he built a house, but he built it right on top of the sand. He didn't dig down to a foundation. And the same thing that happened to the moron happened to the wise man. What? They both had a storm. The wise man's house stood. The foolish person, the moron, his house fell. Now I want to ask you a question. Is God telling you the right way to build a house? Well, it turned out I had some morons build my house. My wife and I have spent several $1,000s getting the foundation lifted because it sunk in two or three places. I'd like to see those people again. I have a few verses for him. God is not worried about the house you live in. If you think that's the story, you've missed it all. God's talking about what kind of life are you building? What kind of life are you building? Let me ask every man in here, every husband in here, every daddy in here, what kind of house are you building? Are you the man who's building your house, your home, your family on the Word of God? If not, you're a foolish person. There are plenty of people out in this county that are highly successful. They live in nice houses. They drive nice cars. They go on nice vacations. But they don't know a thing about what their kids want. They don't care a thing about their wives. They only care about business. That's a foolish person. Amen. A head of the house, a man who builds a house, first of all, will build that house on the Word of God. Every man in here, you ought to be the spiritual leader of your house. Amen. You ought to be on your knees every day. You ought to be in the Word of God every day. Every man in here ought to show your children the proper way for a man to love a woman, to love your wife. Men, if you're not building your house on the Word of God, if you're not building your house on the principles of God, you're asking for trouble. Oh, listen. Say, whoa, what am I doing? What am I going to do? God tells you how to live your life. I can't go through the whole thing right now, but basically this is give your life to God. Amen. And then when God tells you something, you do it. Amen. Husbands, treat your wife like God treats His church. He loves His church, and He gave everything He had for His church. Fathers, don't rage and rant and carry on because you teach your children to do the same thing. There's some kids that grow up and they never hear from their father the words, "I love you. I'm proud of you." And it's not based just on what they do. Just tell them, "I just love you." I sat down, my son was born, and my wife helped a little. And we'd been up all night, and I went home. We were in college, and I wrote my son, who was just a few hours old, two-page letter. And I told him how proud I was of him. He hadn't done anything, but God had given him to me, and I was so proud of him. Now listen, daddies. Build your house on this. Kids, it's nice to be able to give them things, but it's better if you can show them the right way to live, the right way to be a man, the right way to treat a woman. Amen. God's not interested in sticks and stones, but God's interested in your life, in my life. And you got to build your house on the Word of God, on the promises of God, and stick with it. Because I guarantee you, whether you're a good daddy or a bad daddy, everybody is going to have trials and struggles. You know, I've heard sometimes kids aren't perfect. Y'all ever hear that? Oh, no. And I've seen it happen. I've seen two kids grow up in the same house. One of them just sweet as could be, and the other mean as the devil. I'm telling you, listen. Mom and Daddy, you're going to need God's help raising a family. Amen. You're going to need God's help. I married a fellow the other day I told you about. Married just short of 70 years. I told my wife, I'd like to meet that. I'd like to beat that record. She looked at me and said, married to you for 70 years? She said, you talking about the Great Tribulation? Oh, listen. I had a little girl one day, she was upset. At church. I said, what's the matter? She said, my mama's mad at me. I said, what'd you do? She said, well, I called my daddy's other wife, mama, and she heard me. Now she's mad at me. Daddy had been married 3 times, mama 2 or 3 times, that kid. She said, I got so many grandparents, I don't know what to do. Listen, parents, what you do affects these kids. Amen. Build your house on the Word of God, on faithfulness, one man with one woman for life. And stay with it. Everybody here is going to have problems. But I have problems, but I do one thing with mine. I just pass them right along. I had a doctor. He was doing surgery on me, and he's giving all this big talk. He said, Brother Graham, I better go in here, and I'm going to do this. I said, whoa, Doc, wait a minute. You know what you're talking about? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, shut up and do it. I don't want to hear about it. Just do it. Put me to sleep. Wake me up and tell me everything's all right. That's all I want to hear. Amen. And I do that with God. God tells something, I believe it. I don't say, God's proved it to me. I don't have to. My God can do anything, anytime, anywhere. Amen. And sometimes He just flat says, I'm not taking this problem out of your life. You're going to have to deal with it for a while. I said, okay. You got to accept the good and the bad in this world. Amen. What are you building your house on? What are you building this church on? When y'all built this beautiful building, did a bunch of you just get together one day with some shovels and picks and say, let's go dig a hole, make a poor foundation, and see what grows out of it? No, you probably got an architect, and then you got a builder, then you got all this stuff, and then when it was all done, you got a bill. And you say, well, now we got a big building, now we got to pay for it. You know, everything has a consequence, doesn't it? Listen, I asked you earlier, where are you going? But what are you building along the way? What are you leaving behind you? God's not interested in the house you live in. No, I know He is to a degree, but not really. But God's interested in the life that you're leading, the kind of person you are. Are you an honest person? A faithful person? A forgiving person? A loving person, a godly person. Oh, those are wonderful things to have. Amen. Oh, listen. Be known as a loving church. Be known as a giving church. Be known as a forgiving church. God said, all of you are going to have troubles. But you can get through them if you got the right foundation. Amen. I want to tell you right now, the only foundation you can have, in my opinion, for a successful life, faith in God through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the chief cornerstone. On Him, everything else is dependent. You can be a good person as far as the world is concerned. You can be a well provider. You can be a faithful husband. You can be a nice dad. But you know what? You can lead your children straight to hell if they follow your example, if you're not following Jesus Christ. Daddies, I beg you, be a godly man, be a godly husband, be a godly father, be a godly worker at work. That's the way to build a house. Amen. Wives, I'm picking on the men today. But you got a bigger job than I got. You got to love that rascal. You got to love that rascal. I tell everybody when they get married, there's two things that you need to know. What's every man need and what's every woman need? What's the main thing a man needs from his wife? Respect. Respect. Every woman, what does she need from her husband? Love. Men need respect. Women need love. I've heard wives talk about their husbands the way they wouldn't talk about anybody else. Woman, don't do that, do you, man? He may be a jerk, but you're the dummy that married him. And don't blame God for that. No, if you have something to say to him, you say it in private. You don't embarrass him in front of his friends, in front of his workers, in front of his kids. You make sure he's the head of the house. Amen? Are you building a good house today? Are you building it on the Word of God? Are you producing good fruit? Can you look around this room today and just look around and say, you know, I helped witness to that person and saw them come to church. I helped witness to that person, saw them accept Jesus Christ. I helped witness to that person, got them back in church when they got out. Can you look around and see the fruit of your labor? If not, why? It's not the preacher's job. It's our job to build the kingdom of God. Amen. We're not going to be here long. I'm not going to be here long at all. Brother Johnson's coming back. I want to tell you, I thank you for the chance to minister to you. I thank you. I got a card here I was supposed to read. Thank you for the cheesecake for Veterans Day. The only bad trouble is you gave it to me when my grandkids were here and that thing disappeared. I mean, like the locust had eaten it. Lord have mercy. I'll leave this card here, brother. You can read it to them. Y'all have got something very good here. Keep it up. Amen? Keep it up. And don't keep it a secret. Go out and tell other people. We're building the kingdom of God right here. We got all kinds of little kids, and we got some big old kids, and everything in the middle. But you build this church for God. Amen? And then you build your homes for God. And you'll be a shining light on a hill that'll attract many people. I'm going to ask the song leader to come. I ask you to bow your heads.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin, today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.